The Vietnam War, it's over. Your job just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
The following podcast contains explicit language.
Welcome to Mom and Dad Are Fighting, Slate's parenting podcast for Thursday, October 10th, the Breast Milk Taste Test Edition. I'm Rebecca Lavoie, a journalist and host of the podcast Crime Writers On. I live in New Hampshire, and my kids are Henry, who's 18, Teddy, who is 16 and a half, and my stepdaughter Lily, who is 19.
And I'm Dan Coyce. I'm an editor at Slate and the author of How to Be a Family. In stores now, I'm the dad of Lyra, who's 14, and Harper, who is 12.
Today on the show, we've got a question from a parent wondering whether it's cool or weird to let her 6-year-old sample her breast milk. Plus, a question about whether it's okay or not okay to be super annoyed by a chatty kid at the theater. And on Slate Plus, I'll talk more about an announcement I'm making on today's show. If you want to hear that conversation, join us on Slate Plus at slate.com/momanddadplus. Now, on to the show.
Before we begin, I thought I would point out that several listeners on the Facebook page to last week's episode thought that I was a little yelly, that I was a little angry last week, that I was yelling at dads too much. Some people were like, why are they yelling? They also pointed to your yelling the week before when you got exercised about a few things. And then also several dads were like, Dan, you're being too mean to dads. When you literally say, fuck that dad, you're being too mean to dads. Now, I would counter that the show is not called Mom and Dad Are Soothing. The show is called Mom and Dad Are Fighting. So we do yell sometimes.
Correct.
But I'm going to try, Rebecca, to tone it down this week a little. I'm going to try not to yell, and I'm going to be nice to dads should the occasion arise.
Yes, because that's what men need, is special attention and people to be nicer to them.
I mean,
that's
people are nice to me, Rebecca. I don't think I should treat other dads any differently than I would like to be treated myself.
Okay. I'm fine with the yelling. I do think the show is called Mom and Dad Are Fighting for a reason. And I did not think that you were over the top in your declarations of fuck that dad to that dad, because I felt the same way. So I appreciate you responding to the audience's needs, though. That's very audience-centric of you, and that's always good.
We'll see. We'll see if I can make it through a whole show without yelling. I can't wait to find out.
Well, I have something that I wanted to talk about before we did Triumphs and Fails, if that's okay, Dan.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, at the end of this month, I will be stepping away as a regular host of Mom and Dad Are Fighting.
No!
For a variety of reasons. Yes, it's true. But I do hope to still be on occasionally as a pinch hitter. I believe in soap opera land that's called bumping yourself down to recurring status. Mm-hmm. And I will talk about that more in Slate Plus, what went into that decision, and we can just like chat about it a little bit. But yes, it's happening. I am stepping away as a regular person on this podcast. Dan, now you'll have one for your person to like worry about whether or not they yell.
I mean, I'm sure we'll hire a yeller to replace you, but I don't think they'll truly be able to replace your yelling, which is world caliber.
Thanks. Thank you.
You're welcome.
My kids wouldn't agree. But anyway, I appreciate the compliment. All right. Do you have a triumph or fail this week, Dan Coyce?
I have a fail. It is sort of a parenting fail. More broadly, it is a parenting, life, culinary, and career fail. It really hits the four quadrants of failure. So this weekend I was in my hometown, the place I grew up, beautiful Milwaukee, Wisconsin, a great place by a great lake, doing a book reading at a bookstore on the east side. And while I was in Milwaukee, this thing happened, which happens to characters in movies and in YA novels and stuff, but I never thought would happen to me, but my past caught up with me. So after the reading, my dad and his wife wanted to take us all to COPS. My kids were at the reading. They actually participated in the reading wonderfully. They did a lovely job. They wanted to take us to COPS, which is the world's tastiest frozen custard stand. And I really wanted to go, obviously. It's a delicious place to get frozen custard. And in fact, I hadn't eaten dinner and I really wanted a burger. But due to an error I made 12 years ago, I can no longer comfortably go to COPS Frozen Custard on Silver Spring Avenue in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. So what happened was way back in 2010, What happened was way back in 2007, a manager at COPS Frozen Custard, due to like a dumb series of events, as is always the case, became a like minor Fox News hero for like 20 minutes, for like two segments on Fox News. But he was like very briefly in the news. And that manager was once my boss. In fact, he was my nemesis when I worked at COPS in like 1994, or maybe even earlier. It was like 1993. It was a long time ago. And that manager was once my boss. In fact, he was my nemesis when I worked at COPS in like 1990 or 91, like my junior year in high school. And he still was working there then. At the time, I worked for New York Magazine, the nymag.com. It was my first real journalism job after several years doing other stuff. And my job was to write blog posts as quickly as possible. So I wrote a snarky blog post about this guy and COPS in like 10 minutes. And then just immediately stopped thinking about it, like went on to write the other 12 to 14 blog posts I had to write that day. But so then the next time I was in Milwaukee, maybe 6 months later, I went to COPS and I ordered a malt. And then when my number came up, I went up to the counter and it was him at the counter holding the malt. And he looked right in my eyes and he said, "I saw that thing you wrote." And I didn't say anything. And I took the malt and I left the restaurant and I threw the malt in the garbage can.
Yeah.
And now it's 11 years later, and every time I go to Milwaukee, all I want to do is go to COPS. But he works Saturday nights, I guess, because every time I go there on a Saturday night, there he is at the counter, like waiting for me. And so then I just turn around and leave, or I send my kids up to order and I hide behind a pillar. But I can't like face him because he knows what I wrote. He read the thing I wrote. So this weekend, my dad wanted us all to go to COPS after like for a celebratory family evening with his grandchildren and his son, of whom he was so proud. And I just couldn't face the whole fucking thing. So I just told my dad, you know what? Take the kids, take them to COPS, have a great time. I'll drive mom home. I'll see you later. So I missed celebratory frozen custard. I miss this like great family event. It would have been so delicious. It would have been meaningful and moving, but I blew it. All right. How about you? Do you have a triumph or a fail this week?
I've got a triumph. It's a sad one. I know I teased this a little bit last week that this was going to happen, but we did have to put our dog down since the last time we recorded together, our older, smaller dog, Brighty. And we had a lot of back and forth, my husband and I. We actually got into a huge argument last week when it was very clear that she was definitely dying. And it was just a matter of like whether or not we put her down and it's like peaceful and cool, or maybe she just craters and has like a horrible, painful, traumatic death at home. And then we have to take her like the emergency veterinarian to get her peace. But I've been through the latter before. So I felt very confident that putting her down kind of proactively while she still had like a little bit of herself left in herself was the right thing to do. He felt very strongly that he wanted to get a chance for his daughter to come home from college and for Teddy to be around. And our argument was basically just like, even if we wait a day or two, like that horrible trauma could happen. And then I'll be pissed that like we were selfish about just not putting this poor dog down. Anyway, it all worked out. We sort of compromised. We decided to do it very early Saturday morning. And, you know, my stepdaughter came home from college the night before and we had like a perfect night with the dog and it was really wonderful. And then we all went together and had her put down, and it was so sad. And my son, Teddy, he is, by the way, I don't know if I've ever said this in the show, like, he's gigantic. Like, he's like, he's only like 5'10 or 5'11, but he's one of those people, like, he just has a huge head and like big arms and big legs. Like, he looks like a giant person, even though he's not super tall. And he looks very, you know, he looks very much in that sort of second half of puberty. Like, you can tell what he's like as a man, kind of.
Right.
And he had like a complete emotional breakdown at the vet, was crying hysterically, like in hysterics, was so sad. And it was so, it was actually, in a way, we all agreed later, much harder to see his breakdown than it was to put our dog down. Like, it was sadder because, like, the real like impact of it was just so visceral. But the triumph of it is that afterward, you know, we kind of sat for a while, and then we went to downtown Concord that has like a farmer's market every Saturday. And we did some walking around and we met tons of dogs because it's like the kind of town where people like bring their dogs out on Saturday. And we had all these like long talks about like what Bridie had meant to us and how dogs are so worth it because you get so much love. And it ended up just being like really, really, in a weird way, beautiful and fun. Like, we had a really, really good day, like a healing, bonding day. And my son had had this huge breakdown and he'd been really afraid to go. And like, sort of his worst case scenario happened where like he had had this big breakdown, but then he like got through it. And we kind of all agreed later, including him, that it would have been, if he hadn't gone and had that like cathartic big breakdown, that he could have like been like that for days and not gone through the whole arc of like saying goodbye to her and then being with the family and like walking around and going to get breakfast together and like all the stuff we did. Like, our whole day was basically structured around the fact that we'd done this hard thing. And we ended up having like a wonderful, wonderful day together, a very healing day. And I'm just really proud of him. I'm proud of him for being the kind of kid that like is comfortable crying hysterically in a public place. Like, I did feel kind of bad for the poor people who were just there to get their cats like shots or whatever, and they had this like giant kid like weeping in the waiting room. But it was really great, and I'm super proud of him. And it ended up being kind of a triumph, even though it was a super sad day for our family.
Well, rest in peace, Bridie. I'm sorry for your loss, but I'm glad that that dog had a long and great life with you guys.
Thanks. We are too. She was really great. Actually, to be honest, she kind of sucked as dogs go, but we loved her a lot. And she was really great.
It's time to tell the truth about Bridie. Even you love even the sucky dogs, though. That's
exactly.
Just the way it goes.
Exactly. That's what's so great about them.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Most of you listening right now are probably multitasking. Yep, while you're listening, you're probably also driving, cleaning, exercising, or maybe even grocery shopping. But if you're not some kind of moving vehicle, there's something else you can be doing right now: getting an auto quote from Progressive Insurance. It's easy, and you could save money by doing it right from your phone. Drivers who save by switching to Progressive save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Discounts for having multiple vehicles on your policy, being a homeowner, and more. So, just like your favorite podcast, Progressive will be with you 24/7, 365 days a year, so you're protected no matter what. Multitask right now. Quote your car insurance at progressive.com to join over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, let's do some business. Slate's parenting newsletter is the very best place to be notified about all of our parenting content, including Mom and Dad Are Fighting, Care and Feeding, Ask a Teacher, and much more. And It's like getting a personal email from Dan Kois. I really like it. You can sign up at slate.com/parenting email. As always, if you have a question you want us to answer on the podcast, leave us a message at 424-255-7833. Or you can email us at momanddad@slate.com, and your question could get read by the amazing Shasha Leonard. Also, check out our Facebook group. Just search for Slate Parenting on Facebook. It's a fun community, and we moderate the heck out of it so it doesn't get out of control. Even I kick people out of the Facebook group. In Slate Plus today, an in-depth explanation of why I'm stepping down as one of the co-hosts of Mom and Dad Are Fighting. Here's a little taste of that conversation. It doesn't feel great. It doesn't feel like I'm doing my best work, but also makes me sort of wonder, like, whether it's not time to bring in, like, a different parent to tackle some of these issues, to give a different perspective. To hear segments like that and to get ad-free podcasts, sign up for our membership program, Slate Plus. It's a great way to support the show. For just $35 for your first year, you can help cover the cost of producing Mom and Dad Are Fighting and your other favorite Slate shows. And in return, you'll get extended ad-free versions of this show and other Slate shows and a ton of other great perks. So support Mom and Dad Are Fighting. Go to slate.com/momanddadplus and join Slate Plus today. Okay, back to the show.
Before we go back to the show, I would like to reinforce one of those announcements, which is send us questions. We really
please.
We had a shortage of questions this week, in part because we recorded a little earlier than usual. But if you like listening to the podcast, send us something that's been bugging you about parenting or something you'd like us to talk about or an issue you want to raise. It can be an advice style question, or it can just be something about a parenting issue that you've been thinking about a lot. But we really want to hear from you because we want the show to reflect what you, our listeners, want to hear from us, like less yelling and other questions. So send us some questions, momanddad@slate.com.
Do it. You won't regret it. All right, our first listener question for this show. This one was sent by email to momanddad@slate.com, and it's being read for us by Shasha Leonard.
My daughter is 6, and I am 33 weeks pregnant. She's really excited about the imminent arrival of her new sibling. I've told her how babies get nutrients from breast milk or formula milk, and that, at least for a little while, the baby will probably be breastfeeding, as she did as a baby. I enjoyed breastfeeding the first time around, so we'll probably give it a go again. Recently, she asked me if she would be able to taste my breast milk. I said yes, but not from my breast, and that I'd put some in a cup for her. My husband and I both tried it this way the first time around, just out of curiosity. When I casually mentioned this to a friend yesterday, they were horrified that I would even consider letting my daughter taste it. So, am I a weirdo? Should I have a boundary around my breast milk? Thanks.
Dan, I have thoughts, but I've just been talking for 2 straight minutes. So I'd love for you to share your thoughts first, and then I will share my thoughts.
I don't think that this is like a real issue. Like I think there's no reason to have boundaries around your breast milk. There's no reason to worry about letting your kid taste your breast milk. There's like breast milk is just a food that babies eat. And it is slightly weird that it comes out of your boob. But nonetheless, we all have had it, almost all of us. And I think that like the value of normalizing for your kid that this is a thing that women, mothers often do, that it's a thing that babies eat, that it's just a totally natural part of your body and not anything to like hide or be ashamed of or to feel weird about, far outweighs any sort of queasiness about my kids drinking something that came out of my body. I just think that the ability to give that to your daughter is actually pretty valuable and not really that weird at all. And I encourage you to get over any weirdness that you might feel. But that leads me to a broader question, which is, and I want to hear what you have to say about it, Rebecca, but I also want to know, like, Rebecca, did everyone in your family taste your breast milk? And I'll tell you what happened in our family.
I don't remember if everyone, I know I did. I was super curious, you know,
yeah.
And I was like, you know, I did not have any luck breastfeeding either of the kids. So I pumped for a couple of months. So I always had like these like big bags of milk, like in the freezer.
Yeah, the Medela
like
bags.
That. Yeah. And, you know, just like the latching on just did not happen with either one of my kids. And, but I, you know, I pumped for a couple months with both. And of course I was curious. And it's interesting to me that there would even like, I mean, you talked about it like being a little weird that it comes out of your boob. It's only weird because we've decided it's weird. It's not weird. I mean, milk comes out of somebody's boob no matter what kind of milk it is.
That's
like,
a fair point.
Cow's milk comes out of a cow boob. Like goat milk comes out of a goat boob. And it's just arbitrary that we've, you know, or that apparently this woman's friend has decided that there should be some sort of weird boundary about it. I mean, I understand like you might not want to say like, hey, why don't you just start having breast milk on your cereal from now on, kid? Because it is, you know, for the baby and it's, you know, not for everyone. There might be some stuff there and there might be some health issues that I don't know about that I'm just kind of talking, you know, out of my boob about. But
there are not. I would just like to state for the record.
I don't think there are, right?
There are.
Yeah, exactly, right?
Yeah,
like,
no.
I mean, this is, I think it's weird that somebody would think this was weird. And if you are friends with somebody that thinks it's weird, I'm not going to yell, but fuck that friend. No, I'm just kidding. It's not weird. You shouldn't have boundaries around your breast milk. You should talk about it openly. You should raise the kind of kids that have no discomfort when they see a mother feeding her child in a public place or on a train or in a theater or anywhere else at work that they decide to do it. You should have total and complete comfort about it. It's a wonderful value to pass along. And you should let your daughter taste it whenever or however she wants to, out of a cup, whatever you decide is appropriate. And it's fine. It's completely fine. You're not hurting anybody and you're not, you know, doing anything wrong here. But yeah, of course I tasted mine. It was, you know, I don't like remember much about it, but I don't think anyone else did. I think it was pretty much just me. I was curious.
I definitely tasted Alia's breast milk, as did at one point. So what happened was, it was like maybe a month after Lyra was born and her brother came to visit and he was like, well, have you tasted the breast milk yet? And I was like, no, but I really want to. And he was like, well, what does it taste like? I want to know too. So we both tasted it. We had like a little sample, you know, just like a shot glass with a little bit in. And we didn't tell Alia that we were doing it because that was the point where for her nursing also was very difficult. She also had supply issues. And so like every drop that she pumped out of her breasts was like gold that she had that she had produced by the toil of her brow. And so if she had known that we were like stealing some out of those Medela bags and doing shots, she would have been like, that was like an hour of work that you just consumed. Well, how could you do that to me? But I remember I can still like summon to my mind that flavor, like right now, it was a very striking flavor. And I recommend anyone who has wondered about it to like give it a try. You'll never taste anything like it. But I was so glad that I did it and tried it. What do you say to that friend, to the friend who is horrified? I'm not exactly at fuck that friend, but I do agree that it's like weirder that the friend had an opinion and expressed it to you than it is that you were thinking about doing it in the first place. And I think it's worth going back to the friend and being like, hey, when you were horrified, it made me second guess myself. But with the help of my friends on Mom and Dad Are Fighting, I have been thinking about this. And I really think that it's not weird and that it's valuable to give my child this experience that she's interested in. And that to tell me it's weird is like a way of marginalizing this totally human thing.
And a thing that is like specific to women. So there's like a huge undercurrent of sexism here too that, you know, is kind of just around the whole breastfeeding conversation generally. Like the idea that we'd be icked out by any part of it is problematic. I think it's worth circling around with that friend too, because if you want to stay friends with this person, you know, when you have kids and you want to talk about parenting stuff, like, I think it's important to be comfortable with who you are, or maybe just learn that you have the kind of friendship where you just can't talk about real shit. Some friendships are like that, you know? All right. Well, we'd love to hear what happens. What does your 6-year-old think of the breast milk? For now, I think we should move on to our next question. This one also came in by email, and it's also being read by Shasha Leonar.
Dear Mom and Dad Are Fighting, I recently attended a theater performance for a national touring company of a Broadway production. The show is child-themed, but the ticket prices were not insignificant, at $85 per seat. I was seated 2 seats from the aisle, directly next to a young boy, with a female adult accompanying him seated on the aisle. During the first half of the performance, the child spoke frequently, and the woman engaged with him every time. Often the child was quietly listening attentively to the performance, and the adult would start a dialogue with the child. This went on for the entire first half of the performance. I did manage to catch the adult's eyes once while she was happily chattering away, at which point she managed to quiet down for a matter of moments. The child, who I was later informed was 6, was also unable to remain seated without a lot of fidgeting. During the fidgeting, I was kicked multiple times and elbowed in the head repeatedly. At the beginning of the intermission, I turned to my teenage daughter and asked her if she would switch seats with me. Clearly having observed what was going on, she refused. I then said something to the effect of, "What, you don't think you'd enjoy being repeatedly kicked and elbowed and having constant chatter?" In response, the adult to my right raised her voice to tell me I was a miserable human and should have done everyone a favor by staying home. The child was 6, the performance was for children, and I should grow up. I simply laughed in response because her tone and volume indicated that there was no opportunity for a reasoned discussion. When I did attempt to respond, she simply raised her voice over me. The second half went better for me and worse for the people seated in front of the pair. Should I have been more accepting of the child's behavior, or should I have had some expectation that I not have my theater experience impaired by a parent who models poor behavior? Thanks. Aggravated in Albany.
Dan Coyce, I know you've got thoughts. Go.
Lady, I did a little research. I believe that I have identified the Broadway tour that you attended at the Proctor's Theater in Albany, New York. Mm-hmm. The show that you spent $170 on for 2 tickets for you and your teenage daughter. The show that was ruined for you by a 6-year-old fidgeting. That show was the SpongeBob musical. A show about the children's cartoon character SpongeBob SquarePants.
Wow.
Now look.
Good detective work.
Look, I understand that sometimes kids out in the world are a drag. It sucks to have a baby cry next to you on a plane. It sucks to like be at a restaurant and have a kid talking loudly at the next table. And if it sucks for you, I just urge you not to worry. Pretty much every parent is keenly aware of how much the world resents their presence anywhere when they have small children. That's why they look so miserable on the plane. That's why they keep shushing their kid at the restaurant table, and then they distract them with a phone, and then they don't say anything when you're like, "Oh, those shitty parents just giving their baby a phone. How dare they?" But you had this experience, right, Rebecca? When you were a parent with small kids, you would go out in public to a place where, you know what? You just got to be there in public with your kid because we live in a society, and your kid would be acting like a kid, and you would be like mortified and doing your fucking damnedest to like get the kid to behave because you know that people are pissed, right?
Yeah. And it's interesting that you track down what the show is. I do think that contextually that makes a difference. I really do. But also, I mean, what really struck me about this email was, like, we can agree that sometimes you're next to either, at an event or a public place, next to like a kid who is not behaving great, but also like a parent who's not doing great in like their self-awareness about how their kid is being, which I think is like the trigger for this person, is that the mother wasn't being apologetic about it, right? She wasn't like, oh, she was like participating
right in
the disruption. And that was sort of the aggravating factor. But what's interesting to me about this kind of situation is when you find yourself in it, you actually do have a choice. And that choice is really like, you can be a good and patient, understanding person, or you can be a jackhole, right? And it does bother me that this person who, you know, paid money for this ticket and was so aggravated and angry by the experience of sitting next to this family, the way they wanted to handle it was to put their teenage child in the very seat that was such an irritating place to be. Like,
better her than me.
That basically tells me is that, like, it's kind of like about that moment, like, it's about you and your enjoyment and sort of the lack of awareness that you actually could be a good and helpful person by being tolerant and smiling and maybe politely saying to the mom during intermission, "Oh my gosh, you guys are so chatty. I totally get it. I'm a little hard of hearing. I would never ask you to, like, you know, not bring your kid to them. I'm so glad your kid is here, but just FYI, maybe like take it down a decibel. That would be really great. I really appreciate it," and be apologetic. And there are ways to kind of address people, but I promise you, like, this parent knows, and it's a whole thing. And the sort of decision to be angry and to like throw your teenage kid to the slaughter by, like, instead of just being like a kind buffer, that was a choice you made. And I feel the same way on airplanes, like crying babies. Like, babies cannot fucking help it on airplanes. Like, can't help it. They are babies. And when people get mad at babies, it makes me so mad, because I'm like, again, you have a choice. You can be patient and just understand that flying is freaking awful and weird for babies, and they will cry, and we all did it because we were all babies once. And you can smile and you can give the mom sympathetic looks and ask if you can help, and you can be cool, and you cannot be an asshole about it. Like, that is a choice you get to make in the moment. And I do think aggravated in Albany perhaps made the wrong choice. I'm not saying the feelings were wrong. You can't help how you feel.
Right.
But, you know, the response, I think, was a little much.
Now, you may be listening aggravated in Albany, and you may be like, these people don't understand. But I would like you to think about it at least for a minute from the mom's point of view, right? You are a mom taking your child to a musical, maybe his first ever musical. You also paid $85 per ticket for the seats. The musical is about SpongeBob SquarePants, a beloved cartoon character on Nickelodeon. You are trying to engage your child through this children's entertainment. You're, I'm sure, also doing your best to keep him from fidgeting. You have no desire for him to hit people sitting next to him. And then at intermission, some woman sitting next to your kid loudly announces to everyone around you, in the guise of talking to her teenager, how your child is just awful and is behaving awfully. You hear it. Your kid hears it. Everyone around you hears it. If this was you, and this was, remember when your teenager was six, and this was her, your six-year-old, how would you feel if someone did that to your daughter? Would you feel like your child's experience had been somewhat ruined, that someone had taken out their frustrations over totally normal six-year-old behavior at an entertainment event meant for six-year-olds on your kid, and like spoiled this evening you spent a shitload of money on? Like, you would be very upset. And you know, in reporting this to us, you said that the woman said, you're a miserable human and you should have done everyone a favor by staying home. That's a harsh response. But I totally understand that response, because I cannot stress enough to you, lady, you are not at slave play. You are not at Angels in America. You are not even at, like, Oklahoma. You are at the SpongeBob fucking SquarePants musical, a show for children. And you got all pissed off about a six-year-old behaving like a totally normal six-year-old.
Yeah.
I yelled. Sorry.
Yeah.
Rebecca is right. Yeah. You have the right to be aggravated. Everyone has the right to be aggravated. This is America. Though I would encourage you to relax. But you were absolutely wrong to complain loudly about it. You were wrong. That mom was right. You should have done everyone a favor and stayed home.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right. Now it's time for the part of the podcast where we share something we like, something our kids like, something our whole family likes. Yes, it is time for recommendations. Dan, what is your recommendation for our listeners this week?
Great name for this segment. I recommend Cop's Frozen Custard in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, a wonderful place to go with your family on a Saturday night. I recommend the chocolate malt. Every day they have a flavor of the day, a different flavor in addition to the chocolate and vanilla custard they already make by hand at every location. There are, I believe, four locations around the Milwaukee area. They have great burgers. They have a great – this month, actually, October, the October Sunday of the month is the Caramel Apple Sunday. It's delicious. Can't recommend Cop's Frozen Custard enough. How about you, Rebecca?
That's great. That's really nice of you. You're doing your due diligence and making up for, you know, your behavior of years ago.
Yeah.
I'm going to recommend something that's objectively awful and that I hate, but that my kids like really like. Two of my kids in particular like it. Teddy and Lily like it. Henry just also agrees that it's awful. And by the way, Teddy and Lily like it. Ironically, they also agree that it's awful, but they have a hell of a lot of fun watching it. And that is this terrible, terrible TV show on the Travel Channel called Ghost Adventures, in which this hapless dude named Zach, who is maybe the worst broadcaster in the history of television, and his band of weirdo friends investigate hauntings at buildings and old houses. And they do that thing where they like have those in, like those instruments where they collect like audio from the room and they play it back. And it just sounds like shh. But they're like, did you hear that? The ghost said, get out. And it's just like shh. And like, of course you can't hear because it didn't happen. But like, it's objectively awful. And my kids freaking love watching it together. And apparently like a lot of their teenage friends also love watching this show. It's like, they like the absurdity of it. They like the structure of it. They like the weird, obviously kind of fake portions of it. But anyway, yes, that's Ghost Adventures on the Travel Channel. Objectively awful, but teens really seem to like it. So that is my recommendation for this week. And I do like watching it with them because they don't like it to the extent where like if we make fun of it, like they're not insulted by it. You know what I mean? But it's bad. It's real bad. And I can't recommend it highly enough. Ghost Adventures.
That's the greatest recommendation. I highly recommend this terrible thing. I'm glad that you've taught your kids, or maybe they just picked it up through the ether, ironic appreciation. I thought that that kind of shit died with Gen X, but I'm glad that it's alive
and
well with the younger
generation.
No,
it didn't. It didn't.
Good.
Another experience we had this weekend with TV was Lily is watching that old Showtime series, The Tudors.
Oh, wow.
And she was watching it in our living room. And I don't know if you've ever seen like a minute of that show, Dan, but it's basically like softcore pornography.
Yeah.
Like so much ridiculous sex up against trees. Like it's crazy. And yeah, so that is not my recommendation for this week. Do not watch The Tudors with your kids. But do watch the objectively terrible Ghost Adventures with your kids. There's no nudity. None. All right, that is our show. Again, if you have a question you want to ask us, please do that. Leave us a message at 424-255-7833 or email us at momanddad@slate.com and join us on Facebook. Just search for Slate Parenting there. Mom and Dad Are Fighting is produced by Jess Jupiter. I'm Rebecca Lavoie and Dan Coyce. It was awful nice talking to you this week. Thanks.
Thank you. Hello, Slate Plus members. Welcome to the Slate Plus bonus segment of Mom and Dad Are Fighting. We're so happy to have you here, and we're so grateful to the support that you give to Slate by being members of Slate Plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.